Phone lines are open for you right now. If you've got a question for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Great website and resource to learn more about Kloss Financial. You can learn not only about the team there, you can also learn about their separate divisions. You can sign up as well for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter that's available to you at klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. As mentioned, cell phone number to get on the air, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. We'll get you on the air with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Of course, you can always call their office, make an appointment at Kloss Financial. It's complimentary, 608-442-5637. Again, no charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. We're going to be talking about taxes, and not all taxes are the same. I'm telling something a lot of folks are like, of course, that's true. Not all taxes are the same. We're going to get some details. And joining us this morning from Kloss Financial, CJ Kloss and Jenny Doty. And CJ, welcome to the show. Good to hear from you. How you been?
I've been good, Sean. How about you?
I'm doing really good. Jenny, welcome to the program. This is your first show, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Hi, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you and great to have you along for the show. And as mentioned, we've got a fantastic program ahead. A couple of things to keep in mind as we do the show. Don't forget, love phone calls, love questions. If you got anything retirement related, love to have you join us this morning, 608-321-1310. Don't forget as well, the Kloss Quiz Question Link. We'll be doing one of those again this morning. Your chance to win a fantastic prize this week. Our friends from Kloss Financial have provided a $25 gift card to Jersey Mike's. Tell you a little bit later on in the program how you can win that gift card. Little tip, though, if you pay close attention, oftentimes both the question and answer to the Kloss Quiz Question Week come up during the program. And before we get to this week's topic, let's actually take a look back last week, CJ, to our show and get the question and answer there to the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week.
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening as you do each and every week. And congratulations to our winner from last week, who was Paul of Monona. And Paul accurately answered this true or false question from last week, which was, contributions to a health savings account are considered triple tax advantage savings vehicles. It was a true or false question, and Paul accurately answered that as true. HSAs, for short, health savings accounts, are actually triple tax advantage savings vehicles, one of the most tax advantage account types in the IRS code. So great job, Paul. And I would just encourage everybody to listen closely this week because we'll do another one at the end of this show.
Should be a great program ahead. And don't forget that last show that we did. If you missed any part of it, you want to listen back, you can definitely head on over to klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. You can listen back to the previous show's podcast. You can also subscribe there as well right at klossfinancial.com. So today's show, we're going to be talking about things for listeners when it comes to different taxes that apply to different types of earnings. Jenny, what do folks need to know here?
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Yeah, today we intend to help our listeners understand the difference between income taxes and capital gains taxes in the U.S. tax code. However, before we summarize those differences, we need to provide everyone with a 50,000-foot view of this topic so we can better understand what we're talking about as we get further into the show. In the U.S. tax code, the term earnings is generally understood to fall under the broader concept of gross income. Now, the Internal Revenue Code Section 61 defines gross income as all income from whatever source derived. So this is a very broad and comprehensive definition, and it includes but isn't limited to the following list of items. First, compensation for services. This is what most people think of as earnings. It includes wages, salaries, tips, commissions, fees, bonuses, and other taxable employee pay. It also includes income from self-employment, such as that earned by freelancers, independent contractors, or small business owners. And this category even includes bartering. Second, we have income from a business. This is the income generated from operating a business minus the cost of goods sold. Or said another way, subtractions against business income are called deductions and taken for expenses that are ordinarily and necessarily paid in the course of business. Next, gains from dealings in property, also known as capital gains. This category includes profits from selling property, such as stocks, bonds, or real estate. Then we have interest and dividends. Most people are familiar with the fact that income received from investments and bank accounts is taxable. Rents and royalties. This means gross income from renting out property or from the use of a copyright or patent, which is taxable. Again, deductions come into play here. Pensions and annuities are taxable, and distributions from retirement accounts are also taxable, such as pre-tax IRAs or 401ks that were not previously taxed. Forgiven debt is usually considered taxable income. This can be a surprise for people. The tax jargon for this category is income from discharge of indebtedness. Lastly, we have distributive shares of partnership gross income, pass-through income from S corporations, and income from an interest in an estate or trust, which are all taxable. I hope you can appreciate that there are so many types of income, and generally speaking, all income is taxable unless specifically excluded from tax by law.
That is amazing. As we talk this morning with Jenny Doty and CJ Kloss of Kloss Financial. Don't forget, you can learn more online, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. CJ, let's pull you in on this part of the conversation. Fantastic overview there from Jenny. Let's talk then about how this all then applies to different types of earnings.
Yeah, good point, Sean. So before I do that, I do just want to let our listeners know, because you might be going, Jenny Doty, this is a new voice. So many of you know, about a year ago, we decided to bring tax preparation and some tax planning services in-house. And Jenny is our hire that is a culmination of that dream becoming a reality. So Jenny actually does tax prep. She's an enrolled agent with the IRS. And so she does tax prep services for our clients. Now, that's not a requirement. Our clients don't have to work with her, but it's certainly nice when the right hand knows what the left hand is doing, so to speak. So yeah, so Jenny just gave us a really good rundown there of kind of high level, what are these different income categories? And while certainly it's important to understand the broader concept of earnings and gross incomes, that's not the main point of our show today. The truth is that our U.S. tax code is unbelievably complex, and there's a lot more to understand than just gross income. But we don't have time for everything today. Instead, we want to focus on something that a lot of Americans don't realize or understand, such as, did you know that there are two different primary brackets that could apply to your taxable income based upon the type of earnings you receive in a year? Yes, there are two different brackets. Most people have heard of this kind of like, oh, I've heard that, you know, the U.S. tax code is a progressive tax code. The more income you have, the more that you pay in taxes, yada, yada, yada. A lot of people don't know how that calculation works, but they get the idea. What we're here to say today is like, but did you know there's two of them? Two different brackets. So the two different brackets are ordinary income tax brackets and long-term capital gains tax brackets. So let's dig into each of these a little bit. Ordinary income tax brackets. This is the most common type of tax bracket and applies to the majority of a person's earnings. This includes, so remember what Jenny was talking about. So these items I'm about to tell you are the ones that fall into the ordinary income tax brackets. It would be wages, salaries and tips, interest from a savings account, form like on Form 1099 INT, short-term capital gains from assets held less than 1 year, business income from self-employment or sole proprietorship, rental income for most types of rentals, pensions, and retirement account distributions. There are seven different tax rates. So think of it this way. Those categories I just told you all fall into the quote-unquote ordinary income tax bracket. Okay, what is said ordinary income tax bracket? Well, there are seven different tax rates for ordinary income, which are progressive. This means that as your income increases, it is taxed at a higher rate. However, all income first fills the lowest bracket. So even if your income is high, there will be portions of that income that are taxed at the lowest rates. How much will be taxed at the lower rates is a byproduct of how much of each bucket you fill up or bracket that you fill up. And the capacity or size of each of the brackets is specified in the tax rules set by Congress. Additionally, the specific income thresholds for each bracket depends on your filing status, whether you're single, married, filing jointly, head of household, so on and so forth. For example, for the tax year 2025, the rates, those seven different rates we were talking about, are 10%, 12%, 22%, 24%, 32%, 35, and 37. Each of those tax rates then has a specified bracket or range of income amounts that corresponds to it. So now, again, the reason we didn't want to get into each kind of range is because there's different ranges depending upon your filing status. So it just gets really, really complex. I don't want you to worry about that for now. What I want you to focus on is, okay, there's large portions of my income that fall into these ordinary brackets. And those ordinary brackets are progressive and have 10 or and have 7 different categories of rates. And each bucket has to be filled up till you get to the next bucket. So there you go. There's the ordinary income tax side of the equation.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Jenny Doty. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-E-A-S, financial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. So CJ, we talked about the ordinary income tax brackets. What about those capital gains tax brackets?
Yeah, so this is the piece that most people are somewhat unaware of. Mm-hmm. So as we discussed, gains from dealings in property are considered capital gains. The tax rates for these gains are different depending upon whether they're considered short-term or long-term. So short-term capital gains, these are taxed at your ordinary income tax rates. We mentioned it before. Short-term capital gains fall into the ordinary income tax bracket, just like the majority of your other income. So think of it, if you buy a stock and then you sell it 11 months later for a gain, the profit is subject to the ordinary income tax bracket. But what about long-term capital gains? So again, same example, I buy a stock and then I sell it 13 months later and there's a gain in that sale. This is where you get a separate set of brackets and preferential tax rates. So long-term capital gains are gains from selling assets you've held for more than 1 year. That's the key here. Qualified dividends are a specific type of dividend payment from certain domestic and foreign corporations. These are often taxed at those same preferential lower rates as well. Okay, so now that we've talked about, so what falls into these capital gains tax brackets? It's kind of this long-term capital gains, more than 12 months, and then secondarily these qualified dividends. There are currently 3 different tax rates for long-term capital gains and qualified dividends. Okay, so those 3 different rates are 0, 15, and 20. Everybody should be thinking, like, wait a minute. Ordinary income had 7 different rates that topped out at like 37%. You're saying that this type of income, capital gains and, you know, qualified dividends, are 0, 15, and 20? That's right, everybody. Pay close attention here. The income thresholds for these rates are also based on your filing status and are separate from the ordinary income tax brackets. For example, a single filer might have a 0% capital gains rate on a certain amount of income, a 15% rate on the next portion, and a 20% rate on the higher portion. It's also important to mention here that a gain is a calculated amount. It rarely equals the sale price of an asset. So just remember, if I sell a stock for $100,000, that's not my gain. It's the gain from the difference of what I bought it at and what I sold it at, assuming I held it for more than 12 months. So this is kind of setting the stage. Jenny's going to dig in here in a moment, but we're setting the stage for, okay, 2 different, very different brackets here. And the capital gains tax bracket and the qualified dividends bracket is significantly more tax preferred. So Jenny, in a moment here, is going to dig into how does all of that work and get calculated together on your tax return.
Really interesting stuff, and we're going to get into that in just a moment with Jenny Doty and, of course, CJ Kloss, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. The website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Great resource to learn more about Kloss Financial. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. More of Money in Motion with Kloss Financial comes your way next right here on 1310 WIBA. Getting a breakdown this week of the difference when it comes to earnings, things like income taxes and capital gains taxes. Great program. If you missed any part of that first segment or you want to listen back or share the program, of course, you can head on over to klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Jenny Doty. And Jenny, as CJ was talking earlier, just a little bit about some of the different brackets and other things, can you kind of explain how income stacking works when it comes to ordinary income and then capital gains income as well?
Yes, certainly. Income stacking is a critical concept to review when it comes to understanding the brackets and the rates that will apply to each type of income. First, it's important to convey that while there are separate tax brackets for capital gains are not taxed in isolation of all the other types of income that may be in your tax return. All the types of quantities of income are aggregated into one large category in order to determine the extent or the totality of your taxable income. Note that I say taxable here. There are several measures of income on your tax return. Once we drill through most of them, the ones we mentioned at the start of the show, and potentially apply many deductions along the way, we arrive at a specific measure of income called taxable income. So we can think of income stacking visually. First, we stack vertically all the sources and quantities of income that will be taxed at ordinary income tax rates. Next, on top of that, we stack all the income that qualifies for those preferential capital gains rates. So here's a quick explanation of how that works in a little bit more detail. Your ordinary income can be thought of as the base layer of your stack. This includes your wages, salaries, tips, business income, and short-term capital gains. This income is always taxed first using the progressive ordinary income tax brackets with the seven different rates that we mentioned, 10, 12, 22%, and so on. Next, after your ordinary income fills up the tax brackets, your long-term capital gains and qualified dividends are stacked on top, we could say, to continue to think visually about taxable income. As we've mentioned already, long-term capital gains and qualified dividend income are subject to their own separate tax brackets, the 0, 15, and 20% we mentioned earlier. But the starting point, so to speak, for your capital gains will be the next dollar after all your ordinary income is added up. So, to work with an example, if you had $80,000 of income from your job and $20,000 in capital gains from stock you sold, your capital gains will bring your taxable income up to $100,000. 20 on top of 80 is 100. Now, the first capital gains tax bracket, which we will go over in detail in a moment, goes up to about $96,000 for a married couple. It's not exactly $96,000, but to create some simple math, let's assume for a moment that it is. In our example, the capital gains stacked on top of the ordinary income that sit from $80,000 to $96,000 will be taxed at 0%. The last $4,000 of the taxable income is beyond the 0% capital gains tax bracket, and it reaches into the 15% capital gains tax bracket. So only that $4,000 of capital gains will be taxed at 15%. Take that in for a second. I think it can too often be quick to bemoan taxes without fully understanding the places in the tax code that really benefit us. So in our example, we just realized $20,000 in capital gains and will only pay 15% federal tax on $4,000 of those capital gains. If we do the math, that means we pay just $600 in tax on $20,000 of capital gains, and that's an average tax rate of 3%. That might merit some appreciation. Of course, I am setting aside for another time the end of the conversation about the $80,000 of taxable ordinary income. The key rule is that your long-term capital gains don't push your ordinary income into higher tax brackets. Your ordinary income determines where your capital gains begin their own journey up the tax bracket.
Really good illustration of a very complex topic. Talking this morning with Jenny Doty and CJ Kloss of Kloss Financial. They are our retirement planning professionals. Of course, you can learn more online, the website klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial. Get to know your appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. We'll continue our conversation with CJ and Jenny. We will do that next as Money in Motion continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking with our retirement planning professionals, C.J. Kloss and Jenny Doty. Of course, they come to us from Kloss Financial, the website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. Talking about a pretty complex topic, and what's been great about it is really nice work illustrating kind of how this stuff works in the real world. And CJ, as we kind of get through this topic and really helping folks understand it, let's kind of get into kind of the how much as far as earnings or income you'd need for a calendar year, and whether it led ordinary income or capital gains income to really reach different rates within each of those brackets.
So first off, great job, Jenny. I mean, this stuff is complicated. And certainly I almost wish we could do the show like with a whiteboard in a classroom, yes. Right? Because it would certainly be easier that way. That's why we talk often in visual terms, right? We say fill up a bucket, because hopefully that helps our listeners visualize in their own brains what it is that we're trying to explain. But yeah, while we have helped listeners understand that there's two different brackets that could apply to your earnings in a calendar year, depending upon the source of that income between ordinary income or long-term capital gains taxable income, we haven't told you the brackets themselves. So unfortunately, like everything in the U.S. tax code, there are brackets within the brackets. So said another way, while there are two primary different brackets that could apply to your income, depending upon the source of that income, that's that ordinary income tax bracket and the long-term capital gains tax bracket, there are also various brackets within those two brackets, depending upon your filing status. So filing status, believe it or not, there are a total of five different filing statuses that include the following. Single is one. Married filing jointly is another category. Married filing separately is a third category. Head of household is a fourth category. And qualifying widow or widower with a dependent child is a fifth type of category. So there's five different categories, or what the IRS calls filing statuses. So as you can imagine, we don't have time to describe why there are five different filing statuses, but to keep things as simple as possible, we're going to focus on describing the tax brackets that apply to various levels of ordinary income and long-term capital gains taxable income for couples who file as married filing jointly. So we're just gonna focus on that bracket. Now again, if you are not married filing jointly, what I'm about to explain to you is not your ranges, but you can certainly call us up and we can give those to you, or you can, you know, Google the different ranges for different filing statuses. So again, for a couple married filing jointly in the year 2025, the brackets for ordinary income sources are 10% for taxable income from zero to $23,850, 12% for taxable income from I'm going to round these numbers, everybody. We'll call it $24,000 to $97,000. 22% tax on income, taxable income between $97,000 and $207,000, 24% on $207,000 to $395,000, 32% on income from $395,000 to $501,000, 35% on income from $501,000 to $752,000, and finally 37% on taxable income over $752,000 of income. So think visually, as Jenny was just telling you before, each of those are buckets. The first $24,000 that a married couple filing jointly earns in a year will be taxed at 10%. That's the taxable income portion that falls into that ordinary income bracket. Then the next $24,000 to $97,000 is at 12, so on and so forth. So if somebody is at a cocktail party, I'm gonna be like the Debbie Downer here, and says, oh, we pay 35% tax on our income. Well, two things. They're really just trying to tell you how much money they make, by the way. So that's a little off-putting, if you ask me.
Yes.
But number two, rarely, I mean, I'm talking rarely upon rarely upon rarely, would they actually be paying 35% average across all of that income. It's only the money over $501,000 that they're paying that 35% on. So you get my point. Wink, wink. They're making over 500 grand and they're just trying to tell you that. So if you were to actually say, hey, if somebody makes $510,000 and they're in the 35% marginal income tax bracket, what would their average tax be? It is way lower, everybody. We're talking 22 to 24%, not 35%. That would be their average tax across it all that ordinary income. Okay. And then finally, for the tax year 2025, the brackets for long-term capital gain sources for a couple that is filing as married filing jointly, those rates are 0% for a combined taxable income of up to $96,700, or I'll just round to $97,000. 15% for a combined taxable income of $97,000 up to $600,000. And then 20% for a combined taxable income of over $600,000. So you can see why, for those who are listening, you can see why you'll often hear people say there's a 15% capital gains tax rate. And they just kind of say it quickly. Because for most Americans who have capital gains that don't know what they're really talking about exactly, they're going to fall into that 15% range because it's such a huge range. It's taxable income of $97,000 to $600,000. So most people are going to be paying that 15% rate. But as Jenny just gave in her example earlier, and I want everybody to pay special attention to this, if you are strategic, you can actually have large portions of your capital gains tax, long-term capital gains tax or qualified dividends taxed at zero if you manage it properly and if you're able to. And then there is this other thing I just want to mention at the very end of our show here, because I know our CPAs and enrolled agents out there are going, yeah, CJ, but we are aware there's this thing called NIT, net investment income tax. So for those who don't know, there is this other overlaying component known as NIT, where basically if you're taxable, your AGI gets high enough or your taxable income gets high enough that you're going to actually hit this other small tax known as NIT that adds on an extra couple percentage to these higher rates. But that's too much for this show today. We're starting to combine too many concepts into one another.
When we talked to, as we talked this morning with CJ Kloss and Jenny Doty, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, so we talk about this stuff and the complexities. One of the important things is working out a plan, having that strategy, and of course, working with folks that understand all of the different nuances to help you develop that plan and strategy. It's a great day to start that relationship, start that conversation at Kloss Financial. Of course, you can learn more online, the website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their telephone number is 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number is 608-442-5637. Hold on to that number, too. It's time now for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with correct answer, win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Jersey Mike's. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this. True or false? Long-term capital gains are gains from selling assets you've held for more than 1 year. Telephone number 608-442-5637. First call with the correct answer, win the $25 gift card to Jersey Mike's. Don't forget as well, that's Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison. CJ, it's always great chatting with you. Jenny, great to meet you. Look forward to talking again real soon.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. Of course, we've got news coming your way next right here on 1310 WIBA.